Amber Foster, Tony Hudson, welcome.
Thanks for having us.
Now, your organizations are collaborating to share stories of redemption at ArtLink this month, and that's a mighty powerful springtime theme, to be sure. So how did the idea originate?
I think that idea came from a crazy brainstorm between Amber and I, and we were just thinking what would be the greatest way to be able to tell stories of redemption and triumph than in the medium of art.
Pictures worth a thousand words.
It is.
And in this case, many, many thousands. Was it difficult to round up artists for this?
You know, it was really fun. Tony assembled quite a powerhouse committee to plan this. And so we've been planning this for, I think, going on 7 or 8 months. What we did is brainstormed a list of artists in various mediums, being careful to represent a diverse set of mediums, diversity of artists as well. Mm-hmm. And then the committee kind of juried that list and selected our top, I think we selected our top 20.
Artists.
I don't think we received one no. So it wasn't a tough sell. The artists were immediately on board.
Great, all the way around. What about the Blue Jacket graduates? This is a pretty big spotlight to suddenly step into. Was that an issue with them?
I think the sale that the interpretation of the artist may not be what they expect, that their story of redemption may be a little different than what they have experienced. But that's the beauty in it. And I think the trepidation was not as much wanting them to show the world that they have done it, that they have earned their second chance, but how it'll be told.
Okay.
So they were super excited, super excited. In fact, when we had a lot of graduates finding out about the 13 that were selected, they were a little jealous.
That's actually great.
Yeah.
That kind of competitive spirit or just wanting to be a part of this.
Yes.
What a testimonial. It seems like there's a vulnerability factor to the artists and the subjects, especially the subjects, of course. What did it take to get everyone to open up and interact and make this work?
One artist was saying it was quite an intensive study of his subject matter because he had to get to know someone he was just acquainted with weeks earlier to really tell some deep stories about what happened to them in their past and how they had to become triumphant over it, and some pretty dark stuff as well. So how do you portray the story of someone you barely know? I think they had to cover a lot of ground in a short amount of time, which is quite noble of the 13 artists that are exhibiting.
By comparison to other kinds of exhibits and subject matter, Amber, what do you make of this grand enthusiasm on everybody's part?
Right. So after we kind of dispatched the artists to get in touch with the clients, there was like radio silence. We left it to them to do what they needed to do. But then we brought them all together, graduates, artists, and our committee for a dinner, mostly to bring the graduates into the gallery space to show them that it's not an intimidating space, that they're welcome there because many of them had never been to a gallery.
Sure.
But the energy in that room was palpable. You could walk in and just tell that the experience of getting vulnerable with each other, both from the artist's and the graduate's perspective, created a bond that I wasn't anticipating when we set forth on this endeavor. And the energy from the artist now to show us, look what I did with the opportunity you gave me, makes me a little teary because it's incredible. The artwork is above and beyond what I thought they were going to do. The interpretations that each of them have with their own mediums is incredibly inspiring. This might be one of the best shows we've ever done, just in terms of impactfulness, because we impacted the subject so deeply. We impacted the artist so incredibly. You know, a lot of times an artist is creating something from their own experience. This is not from their own experience, but at the same time, it becomes the artist's experience because they have to internalize it in order to spit it back out in an artistic expression. It's kind of magical. I can't put another word on it, and it's not the same energy I experience with other shows.
I call this divine providence. I really do. I see some of the artists that are matched up with some of the clients. It was like they were meant to be matched.
Mm-hmm.
That's
which it's
really quite something.
It's awesome.
It's bound to resonate in the pieces of art as well as everybody's soul and spirit. Now, this isn't just a perfunctory portrait opportunity. Each artist is working at least three pieces to tell each subject's tale. What kind of stories have emerged?
I believe some of the stories of mistakes that plagued individuals, some of the clients really sat high on a mountain of regret, where the artist has been able to show, look at how triumphant they are nowadays. And so these are men and women that have stumbled a few times after getting in trouble a long time ago, some 10, 15 years ago, and it plagued them for a great number of years, but they have more than proven their worth that, hey, I've gone to work every day, I own a home, I have a family, I'm doing very well in my life. And I believe that the artists are just excited about participating. And now here's the next chapter of the story that I get to participate in, not the ugly part, but the redeemed part.
That's wonderful and so powerful beyond words.
Mm-hmm.
Can a movement like this actually affect the way the public thinks about ex-inmates and reintegration, do you think?
Tony's ingrained in this culture every day. I am not. I'm definitely an outsider. I don't have a lot of experience or exposure to ex-offenders that I'm aware of. I know that they're around us all the time, but it's not something people advertise about themselves. And it has changed my perception 180 degrees. You know, there is a stigma associated with people who have records or have spent time in jail and prison. There's a fear factor sometimes. There's definitely a prejudice. And I've gotten to know some of the graduates through this process, and it has eliminated my own barriers. And I anticipate that that's what's going to happen with the general public who comes through the door. So we're going to have a lot of Blue Jacket supporters who are very familiar with this process. We're going to have a lot of ArtLink supporters who probably, like me, haven't had a lot of exposure to ex-offenders. And the artists were the public as well, and I've seen them change. So it would be a great disservice if someone came to the event and didn't allow it to change them.
Hmm. Great point. Great.
Well
point.
Said.
Besides a riveting exhibit, which you've surely got, what does ArtLink hope to gain from this?
I'm often faced with an attitude that what we do within the gallery is not always necessary, that art remains an elective that our community could do without. And I always go back to a quote, and it's from Winston Churchill, which is really corny, but when he was asked to cut funding for the arts in favor of the war efforts, he said, "Then what are we fighting for?" Art is our quality of life. And I think this exhibit, not more than others, but hand in hand with our full exhibition schedule, really illustrates how art impacts us. Because people are going to come to this exhibit, especially if they come on opening night, and they're going to see physical impact on the graduates and physical impact on the artists. And I think for those who remain skeptical about how necessary art is, they're going to see it in the people, in the attendees, and in the art. So it's kind of a perfect storm of, this is why we do what we do. It's not just because we like to paint. It's because if you don't express yourself through art, what are we?
That's a great point. Great point. And Tony, you're an artist yourself. How does this particular statement and this means of making it empower the whole Blue Jacket mission and message?
I found it's always easier for me to exhibit my message on a canvas, and perhaps that equally reflects Blue Jacket's message as well.
Makes a lot of sense. Okay, bottom line, what do you each hope the gallery goers are going to take away with them?
For me, I hope the gallery goers who witness this exhibit take away what I've taken away, that everyone deserves a second chance. No one deserves to be pigeonholed or stereotyped or treated differently because of mistakes they've made, because Lord knows we've all made mistakes and it might just be the difference, wrong place, wrong time. And when someone truly seeks redemption, they deserve it.
We feel pretty strongly that this just becomes that voice, the ability to tell stories, and people want to see stories. Mm-hmm. I just hope they walk away knowing that ArtLink and Blue Jacket rock.
That too.
Amber Foster is ArtLink's executive director, and Tony Hudson, the executive director of Blue Jacket. Amber, Tony, we appreciate you sharing this busy pre-show time with us, and congratulations on this wonderful project.
Thank you.
Thanks for your time, Julia.